SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Whoa, did you hear that? That's not a storm. That's your internet firing up with Leaptel's NBN plans. Lightning fast, rock solid, and when you need help, you won't be stuck on hold with someone overseas.
Nope, you'll get real people right here in Australia. And get 500 megabit speeds for just $79.95 for your first 12 months. T's and C's apply.
Visit leaptel.com.au and leap to better internet today.
You're listening to SBS News.
In the Nepali capital of Kathmandu, they're holding a festival to mark 73 years since Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay first climbed to the summit of Mount Everest. Since then, thousands have reached the top of the tallest mountain in the world, among them 18-year-old Bianca Adler. She's told SBS Nepali that getting to the summit was not the ending people imagine.
I think a misconception is the triumphant feeling of getting to the top of Everest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not as incredible as many people think, because for me, the hardest part of the climb was coming down. So
yeah,
I had to stay so focused, and that's when most of the accidents happen. So it's not as sort of euphoric as a feeling as people think, because we get to the top, it's really, really cold, it's dark. For me, it was. I was like, oh, great, like I'm halfway now. I have to go all the way down what I've just climbed up.
The Melbourne student became the youngest Australian to climb Everest after reaching the peak in the early hours of the 20th of May. But even then, she says the danger was far from over, and she's not alone. This year's Everest climbing season is believed to be the busiest in the mountain's history, with Nepal issuing a record 494 permits for foreign climbers, with the number of people who reached the summit believed to be more than 900. But for many climbers, reaching the top is only half the challenge, because on Everest, the descent can be even more dangerous than the climb up, as Ms. Adler would know.
We took a helicopter from Everest Base Camp to Kathmandu, but it was quite a long few days getting back to base camp because I had summited from Camp 4, I had summited and then gone back to Camp 2, and that was a 23-hour climbing day. And then a few hours later, I just slept for a few hours, and then I had to go back through the icefall from Camp 2 to base camp, and that was extremely tiring.
As the number of climbers has grown, questions are now being asked over whether the world's highest mountain is becoming too dangerous and too commercialized. Critics say social media and commercial expedition companies are drawing inexperienced people onto the mountain, sometimes without fully understanding the risks involved. Nathaniel Douglas is an American climber from Seattle, Washington. He says he regularly meets people chasing Everest without mountaineering experience.
Because of the social media stuff, I run into a lot of people who have never climbed a single mountain, but they really want to go climb Everest. And so they don't really understand like what mountaineering is and what it takes to actually summit Mount Everest and get back down safely.
That experience can prove vital in such a brutal environment. Above 8,000 meters lies the so-called death zone, where oxygen levels are too low for the human body to properly survive. Climbers are exhausted, dehydrated, and often running low on oxygen after hours of climbing in freezing conditions. It is also where overcrowding can become deadly, with climbers sometimes forced to wait in long queues near the summit. At least 5 climbers and mountain workers died on Everest just this season, most while descending from the summit. Everest summit record holder Kami Rita Sherpa says he has noticed more people making the attempt.
This year's expedition was a bit more crowded because compared to last year, the number of clients increased significantly. The government should regulate this to some extent.
The government has responded to the growing demand for climbing Everest by weighing up a tightening of the rules around who can attempt the summit. Officials are considering tougher regulations that would require mountaineers to prove previous high-altitude experience before receiving a permit. But expedition operators argue the overcrowding concerns are sometimes overstated. Rishi Bhandari from the Expedition Operators Association of Nepal says climbers are spread across different camps and routes rather than gathering in just one place.
I'm disagreed that there was a more climber because Everest is 8,000 meter and people are climbing from 5,400 meter to 8,800 meter. So they are not in gathering, they are distributing in different camps and parts. So there aren't that much climber in Everest according to the size, according to the distance of the mountain.
Still, even expedition operators who defend the current system acknowledge there are limits to how many people the mountain can safely handle at once.
In one day, better to not move more than 250 people in a day. This is our experience. And we are going to control on this in future expedition.
Yet even when climber numbers are controlled, Everest itself remains deeply unpredictable. This season, climbers were delayed for weeks by a dangerously unstable ice formation hanging above the Khumbu Icefall, one of the deadliest sections of the route. The icefall is a constantly shifting maze of ice towers, ladders, and deep crevasses, and navigating it safely often falls to Sherpa climbers who guide expeditions through some of the mountain's most dangerous terrain. For Ms. Adler, one of the biggest lessons from Everest was learning when not to continue. Last year, she turned around before the summit because of dangerous weather conditions. And she says that decision may have helped her survive to climb again this year.
In high-altitude mountaineering, there's a fine line between pushing yourself to your limit and then also knowing when to turn around and when it's not safe anymore and when you are, in danger. And I think, last year I turned around because I felt unsafe and I felt like the weather was going to cause me to lose my hands or toes, and so did a lot of other people made that decision to turn around as well.
Some internet wobbles when things get tough. Ours? Rock solid. Built for speed and reliability, and backed by real local experts right here in Australia.
Yep, the kind who actually fix things for you, not just read from a script.
NBN plans begin at just $49.95 per month. T's and C's apply.
Visit leaptel.com.au and leap to better internet today.
This end of financial year, enjoy savings equal to the GST on the BMW X range at the BMW Expo sale event. Experience luxury you can trust. Visit your BMW dealership, ends June 30. T's and C's apply.
And I'm really happy with the decision that I made.
Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.